I think it'd be nice if we read together, don't you? One person agrees. Okay. You and me then, Barbara. John 20, reading from verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 9. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that he'd been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. And we read at the end of that chapter, after Jesus appeared to Thomas, who doubted, and when he saw his hands and the nail prints in his hands, it goes on to say, Jesus, in verse 30, Jesus, from verse 29, then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And I trust that applies to every one of us here today, that we believe in him, although we can't see him. There are doubts and fears that so often creep into our hearts and minds, but to know that he is living, no matter what men may say, I always go into a chorus then, but he's alive, he's alive, he's a living. So we're going to sing number 870, "Jesus is the Name We Honour." We're going to turn to the Bible again, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, is proving that Jesus died but rose again, which is central to our belief. If Jesus died, of course, as this particular passage said, we'd be of most men most miserable. But Jesus died but rose again, which confirms our faith, and that's why we can sing, "Jesus is the Name We Honour." So, 1 Corinthians 15, I think we'll have a go at reading again. It did very well. And it's all in English, so we're okay. I mean, it could have been in Hebrew or even Russian if our dear friend was with us from Monday night, but there we go. So we're going to speak in English. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and at last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. for I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Now I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will be made alive. And we'll leave it there. Amen.
It's good Amen. To sing. It's good to praise God.
In a world that speaks so negatively about everything, or most things, it's good to praise God. The psalmist says to praise God at all times, even when we don't feel like it, to praise God. It's just to lift our spirit from where we are to where he is. Just these words from Paul really does catch my attention on a day like today. For Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so those in Christ are made alive. It's just a wonderful assurance that Jesus is mine now, and one day I shall see him, we shall see him face to face. It's a wonderful, wonderful reassurance, and particularly today we give thanks to God for the resurrection of Jesus. We live in a very confused world, don't we? Very uncertain world. We've only got to put on the news, and it's pretty negative most of the time. And life is at times very difficult for all of us, whether we're Christians or not, whether we're family members or not, whether we're living on our own or going through real trial of health. Life is uncertain. And there's only one thing that politicians agree with, the uncertainty they're certain of. Let me put that round the right way. They are certain of uncertainty. It's about the only thing they agree on. Whatever political persuasion, that is a fact. None of us can change the confusion, uncertainty of life. And equally, life offers no guarantees. It's a bit like the weather. Listen to the weather forecast, and we're looking for some sunshine and some warmth and some dry ground. One minute we can have rain, next minute we can have sunshine. One of the joys of living in this country, of course, we do get the variants of the seasons, but there's no guarantee in life. One minute we can be full of health and really joyful and happy, and then we get some sad news and our hearts drop. Where there is certainty, then there is confidence. When we know, when we have that assurance, then we can be confident. And it's one of the big questions, I think, that most people are asking in our world today. What is life? No, James says that life is a vapor. We're here 1 minute and we're gone the next. And we shouldn't say we'll plan this and plan and do that. We should always ask the Lord what he requires of us. The question is for us today, how can I be sure in this life that I can enjoy life beyond death? I think it was Woody Allen once said, I don't mind dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens. And I think that is a fact, that a lot of people don't mind dying, but they're not too sure of what goes on afterwards. One of the great statements of the Reformation was, the just will live by faith. And after all, the Hebrew writer says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for and certain of the things yet not seen. And for those of us who have faith, that is the absolute assurance that we have, that whatever happens in life, that God is in control, and that gives us confidence. There are times, I'm sure, even our faith walk, where we doubt that, where we wonder where God is in the situations that we face, but he is present always. He is always for us and not against us. Welcome. Nice to see you. Your father said you would be here, and there you are. Well done. And you've come at the right time. I'm just starting the sermon. Do you want me to... I could always go back, but I'll pick it up. But one thing we can be certain of is that our faith will always carry us through, no matter what storms we're facing. And having a faith, a lot of people say they have a faith, but it's a lot different living by faith. Trusting God when we can't trust anybody else. Even when our closest friend, our closest partner lets us down, we know that God is faithful to the end. And having faith and living by faith gives us the confidence that what God promises, he will do. And he's promised to lead us through the dark days as well as the bright days to the better days. I think it was Paul that said, as for this life, we would have all sorts of situations that we face. But for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. What a wonderful attitude to life. You see, how we live our lives depend on how we face life hereafter. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. So the uncertainty of life, no guarantees in life, we do have the assurance that Jesus is Lord and he's with us at all times. And he is our confidence. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our faithful friend. I wonder if you remember, some of us do. I remember lots of things when I was young, but kind of forgot what's happened last week. And I don't know why this came to me. Forgive me for saying it, but I was very young at the time, and I used to look forward to Listen with Mother. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Yes, I know, it was a long time ago. I can see myself on my mother's knee even now. And these stories of which were always interesting, and you know how it all ended? And they all lived happily ever after. If only that were the case. And yet, it is the case for the believer, because things will be happy ever after. Because to live with Christ forever is going to be thrilling. And Paul says, I desire to be with the Lord, but I'll remain in faith to support you as a church, but I would rather be with the Lord, which is better by far. And to have that sort of attitude, I think, brings to mind on this particular day that we can have that assurance for the believer that one day we shall be with him. And so this is the confidence that I want to underline this morning. The answers to the big questions of uncertainty is the confidence of knowing that God is in control. And the answers are twofold. First of all, as we reflect back to Good Friday, and some of us were here, we learnt again the real impact of the cross and what it really meant for Jesus, what it really means to us, that Jesus dealt with sin once and for all. that when we were born perfect, as some of us must have been like, we were born into sin. And when Christ died on the cross, he cleansed us from that sin nature. The Bible speaks about the remission of sins, or the removal of sins, the paying of the debt. And instead of being sinners, we become the righteousness of God. We become the chosen of God. We become those that God loves and loves evermore. It's wonderful to be a believer in a world of uncertainty, of no guarantees. You see, Jesus on Good Friday did something we couldn't do for ourselves. There are many people today that do good works, and bless them for that. There are many people that abide by the law most of the time, apart from driving in excess sometimes, as some of us have done. But it doesn't matter what we do. It's what we believe that makes the difference. And if we believe in Jesus, we believe that he died for my sin, we believe that he rose again for me, we will have that assurance. And knowing we have that assurance of eternal life with Christ makes a difference of how we live today, no matter what we go through, no matter what trials we go through. To know that we have a perfect place prepared for us in glory one day makes life bearable at times when some of us who walk by faith go through terrible trials. I love that verse in Romans 5 that says that God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wonderful Savior. And so that's the first thing, Good Friday. That's why it's called Good Friday, because God did something that we couldn't do for ourselves. And we now have access to God because the curtain was rent from top to bottom, as we read on Friday, and we have access to God freely at any time, at anywhere. And if you're getting on a bit as I am, you know that 3 o'clock in the morning is waking up time for another trip to the toilet, but there we are. God is there to listen to our cry. And I think that's just lovely, isn't it? So that's the first thing. I think the second thing we find in this these verses that are before us this morning, that Christ has already been raised and we will be raised also. But I just want to add something here where he speaks about the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You might wonder what the first fruits are. We have to go back to Old Testament history just to discover that, because it's an ancient Greek word that means the sheaf of grain was brought to be presented. That sheaf of grain was the representation of the harvest was yet to come. And that sheaf of grain represented that true harvest that was to follow. When Christ died and rose again, he represents those who will follow him. The harvest of people that will follow him. Oh yes, there will be many with good intentions. There'll be many that would say, oh yes, well, I never had time for God. I didn't bother with church. It was so out of date, out of place, and it never fitted into my program. But there'll come a time when we'll all have to come before the judgment seat of God. The Bible says, once to die and face the judgment, to give an account for our lives. And it's good for us today to examine our own life, to say, yes, I do believe in Jesus. I do believe he rose again for me. I do believe in him, and I trust him. And I trust him to bring restoration to situations, to bring healing to families, to bring healing to communities, even to nations. Jesus represents us. That's why it's relevant, the resurrection today for us. It happened 2,000 years ago, and none of us were alive. Well, I don't think we were, but none of us were alive then. But to be alive for Christ now and to know that he's already gone ahead for us makes life a joy amidst the pain. The joy of the Lord is our strength, we read in Scripture. And the joy of the Lord is ours because of what Christ has done. And this, I think, breeds confidence in us. It enables us to overcome in situations that are really taxing us. That even though life is temporary, we'll spend more of our life in glory, believe me, with that. So the first fruits was a was that grain of wheat, if you like, that was presented as the first fruits of the harvest. And that's the same for us, that Christ represents us going ahead of us into glory. The other interesting fact, and I'll close with this, and it's a third point rather than 2 points. The Feast of the First Fruits was observed on the day after the Sabbath following the Passover. Significantly, Jesus rose the exact day of the Feast of the First Fruits, the day after the Sabbath following the Passover. You see, some people put Christianity and all this business about Jesus dying in a fantasy understanding. You see, no logic has a mind to understand the supernatural. We can't work this out ourselves. Our education, our background, where we are in society, can't work this out. But by faith, we know. And we know, and we have that assurance. Because everything that Christ did and went through was planned even before the creation of the world. Isn't that amazing? To know that God knows the end from the beginning. He knows when we stand, when we sit. He perceives our thoughts from afar. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. There's nowhere to hide. Because everything in life is planned. One thing I just want to highlight, and I'll leave these thoughts with you, because I hope they can be with you during this day as you continue to celebrate with family and with others today. We'll be celebrating with our family today. It means I don't have to do anything. So I'm really happy about today. I may put that out there just to inform them. But notice here, when these two disciples that were still uncertain about everything, Simon Peter, who was behind John, the disciple Jesus loved, and he arrived in the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth, and that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by it, separate from the linen. The fact it was folded, the fact that everything was put perfectly in order. Hope your bedroom's like that this morning, you don't know, but everything in order. So that when Christ was raised, it wasn't just something that happened, but it was something that happened according to God's perfect plan. And so I want to leave that with you, those thoughts, that you can just digest them as you consider them throughout the day. In this age of uncertainty, in this age of zero guarantees, there is the certainty of life beyond. The confidence we have determines that how we live in this life depends on the life we shall enjoy beyond these shores. Some verses that I read from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 6. And it comes as a challenge to all of us here this morning. We may be here, we may not have faith, we may be struggling with faith, we may be asking questions about faith. These words will help you on your journey. Paul writes in Romans 6, "If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And may his word and may the blessing of God be with you at this special Easter time. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. We ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts this morning. We know where we are in this life. We know whether we have faith or no faith, or we're questioning what faith is all about. But I believe the Lord calls us today, on this Easter day, to examine our own hearts and say, yes, Lord, I want to believe. I want to reaffirm my faith today. I want to know the answers to the big question of life. And so I pray for every soul gathered here this morning that your Holy Spirit would come and minister to them, that they would find in you the answer to life, the certainty of life, the guarantee of life, the guarantee of perfect love that knows no bounds, that today you would be their Saviour, that they would face the consequences of allowing sin to invade and sin to corrupt. But at the confession of sin, you are faithful and just to forgive all sin and cleanse from all unrighteousness. For us who have journeyed for many years walking by faith, that just need that extra help this morning, I want to say, know that you are the righteousness of God. Not because of how you live, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done for you, because he's chosen you by name. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day when you come to the mercy seat of Christ, I pray that he will say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Amen.